eternal life. And you have dominion and power and authority over everything in the airways. Spiritual things, right? But things, what happens is that we get so out of alignment, we start following and getting around other folks that don't want to be in line with what God has for your life. You ever followed someone that is just going in a direction that's wrong? You know it's wrong, but you follow it anyhow for a little bit. You want to test the water. Because I have grace on my side. It ain't so bad. Check it out. You still ain't so bad. I'll still keep going. By the time you know it, you're in that web of deception. You don't even realize that you're chained up with the fool. You don't know it. So God says, tell them to get in alignment with agreement first. Come in agreement with the things that God has said over your life. He'll lead you to a place that the shepherd, the authority, will line up with what God is telling you to do. It's when they start getting all kinds of craziness involved where attitude gets in the mist. You ever been around somebody who has attitude? You ever been around people who have attitude? So I tell myself real quick, it's me, I got the attitude. Right? You get around people that have attitude, and sometimes they're good attitude, sometimes they're bad attitude. Sometimes you don't even know whether they're coming or they're going. You know, sometimes you're happy, and next thing I turn around, then you're mad at me for what happened. So you got attitude, right? Well, you got to get in alignment with the right attitude and with the right ambition. Have you ever been around somebody that's selfish? Mm-hmm. Everything's about them. Me, 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 me. And they ain't getting ready to sing. It's just me, 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 me. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to make sure you're going to bless me. I'm going to get around you and make sure that everything that you're doing is focused on me. And I'm going to make sure you know that it's about me. No, I'm going to make sure you know it's about me. No, I know you're going through something, but it's about me. Look, I know you got issues, but you got to pray for me. Look, I know your dog just ran away, but you got to pray for me. I know your light bill just got cut off, but you got to pray for me. Selfish ambition. And we read about it just on Wednesday, talking about the different things of ambition. It's good to be ambitious, but it's one thing when you have selfish motives. When you have selfish motives, what happens is other people around you get hurt. Get really hurt. And so the Lord says, well, just tell them that not only do you have to have the right attitude, the right ambition, and being in agreement, but it requires action. Get your Bibles, if you would. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 1, please. Those of you that are taking notes, these will be the readings for today. Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 11. Psalm 85, 8 through 13. Mark 1, 1 through 3. Again, that's Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 11. Psalm 85, 8 through 13. And Mark 1, 1 through 3. And then I will put all this into a little box, wrap it up, put a bow on it, and send you home with it. For it is a gift that I give unto you. Are you ready? Isaiah 40, verse 1. 1 through 11. Are we there? We've got a few. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're there. We're there. You got it? You got the Bible? I want you to read, please, if you would. Begin reading Isaiah 40.
Okay. Comfort, comfort, my people, say your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
More.
Cool. Did you get all of it?
A voice says, cry out. Mm. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever.
Forever. Let's stop right there. The word of the Lord will endure forever. But then he prefaces all of this to say that there is a voice calling. Is there not? Is there someone that is calling to make straight our paths? Correct? It requires of us to advance is to get in line to a voice that is calling to make your path straight. In other words, you know when you're doing wrong. You know, I ain't got to tell you. You know the moment you're about to do it, you already know you're about to do wrong. Whether it's a click, click on that site or if it's a ring, ring. Hey, what's up? Meet you tonight at 3. You know what that is. You already know when you're doing something and you know that it's not right. So you already know you're going down that road. Ain't nobody told you. You just decided to. You already know. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives you a way of escape every time to keep you right in the right will of God. But it's when we don't listen to the voice that is calling. The voice that is calling is action saying, I need you to listen. I need you to listen. For the Spirit of the Lord is getting ready to do something with the body of Christ, but I need you to listen first. I need you to do something. I need you to listen. We can hear all these great sermons that everybody preaches, but if we don't listen and put into action what is being preached, all you're doing is taking up a seat, eating a donut and having coffee, having a few laughs and walking out the same way you walked in. It requires action, and the action is the word. How many of you have ever got a perm before? Perm, you know, your hair perm. Some of you guys in here, all right, just be real. Come on, because I did too. I had that perm back in the day. I went to mom, you know, I like all these guys. I have this curly hair. I have straight hair. I used to have hair. That's the problem. I used to. But I asked her, my mom's a beautician. I said, Mom, I want to have a perm. Okay. And she brought out these little rods. You know those little rods? Mm-hmm. They wrap it with, put the paper and they wrap it. And then they twist it up and they put that little rubber thing that goes around like that and hold it real tight. It hurts. And I was, you know, sitting in the sanctuary the other day, and I all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to me. He said, you need an activator. You need an activator. What's an activator? You need an activator. So just the curls is not going to do it? No? So that little paper is the key, right? The little paper. No? It's that little black rubber thing that has that little round thing that clips. It's an activator. We need something to activate during the process. Hold up. Can I just stay here for a little bit? Some things got to be straightened out first. Some things got to get wet so it makes it more pliable to work with. Then you got to get something that goes right through and separates. Did you ever work with doing a perm without using a comb? Got to use a comb. Why do you got to use a comb? Separate the strand. Look, brother, I know you got a perm right now. I'm just going to use an example. Okay, you got a perm. So you got straight hair, real straight hair. Perfect, right? But it's not long enough. So you have a process of waiting before you can get it. Okay? It's a process. But watch this. But once it gets long and it's long enough to get curled, I got to do this, man. I'm sorry, but you got the curls. Come on, man. Just come on. Come on. Just come on. Look. I'm wrong for that. I know. But wait. This is the model. This is Chris, our model today. the model today. Now listen, you got it long enough, but, you know, when they begin to do this, don't they have to straighten it out? Yeah, they straighten it. Do they have to put any solution on it before they... Yeah. So, but they have to put a solution on it, don't they? Yeah. What do they put on it?
The perm, actually.
Do they put the perm stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And then once they start working, what does that perm stuff do when it's, you know... It straightens it out. See, we want God to change our form. But we don't want to straighten out. Just change the form. I don't want to get straight with you. God, just straighten things out for me. You know how we get? You know, God, I just want you to straighten out my issues in my life. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Just talking because you got it good. They worked you all over, man. But and listen, but just straighten the things out, but don't straighten me out. Haven't we been there? God, pay all these bills because I made all this, you know, debt. Just pay all these bills. I'll be all right. No, you won't. You're going to make more debt. God has to come in and start straightening you out. So he's got to start getting something, which we call a comb. You know, a comb. Comb. It's a comb. It's all right. We can still use it. It has teeth on it. And you're a good model, man. Look at this. He went to that GQ look, too. Did you see that? He was. But then look. And then a solution has to be applied. But Go ahead, man. Look. Let's do it again. Come on, let's do it again. Thank you, man. But look. That was cool. Some things got to be straightened out, right? Well, then you go through the straighten out process. If we're going through a process, there's a voice that is calling. It's your inner voice. It's the Holy Spirit. He's calling you. Come on, let's get it straight. There's some things I got to do with you. There's gifting and talents inside of you I want to use. And quickly, now all of a sudden, our mind goes to, I got to be a Christian. I can do that. Really, they're hypocrites. And then they walk like they don't have no life. They walk around with their... Nobody's judging you with their... I don't want to be that. The Holy Spirit never said that. Holy Spirit said, I just need to work with you. You let me work with you. Let me straighten some things out in you. And when he begins to straighten some things out in you, he can begin to change the form. I'm talking to you about perms. Lord Jesus, help me. He begins to change the form because he needs to make a change. But first, some things got to be straightened out. Once they get straightened out, because you surrendered your will, that's the surrendering of will, right? What usually happens after you surrender your will? You go through some hell. Yeah, just like the perm, it gets rolled up so that you're no longer seen like you used to be seen. You ever feel like when you got saved, you gave your life to Christ, you said, not my will, your will be done. All of a sudden, nobody sees you anymore? Nobody, well, you've been calling you, and everything goes to voicemail like, you want to talk to me? I ain't saying nothing, God. You got to. But what happens is he hides you. What was once seen is no longer seen. He hides you. He rolls you up tight. Rolls you tight. But even then, you're not going to get changed. Even in the process of being hidden from your other influences, you don't get changed just by being hidden. There needs to be something that is applied to you, which is the activator that activates the process in your life. When you put the activator in your life, doesn't it burn? Doesn't it just, your eyes begin to water? Y'all ain't got perms for real then. You put that smell like, oh, God, what is that? That's your flesh burning. No? See, you remember my perm. Yeah, when I was in high school, I had my perm. My cousin, hey! Primo, What happened? You got a perm?
Yeah.
Crazy thing, it was a perm mullet, you know? You try a mullet, no perm. I was confused. But you're no longer the same. But all of a sudden, the activator is applied to your life, and there's a burning process that's taking place. It's beginning to set in to the cuticle of the hair. Is that right? Right? It begins to change the way the structure is of your hair. What is the activator in your life? Is it the Holy Ghost? No, it ain't the Holy Ghost. It ain't the Holy Ghost activating you. Then it's the devil. Because he's activating some things in your life because you're letting him choose which way for you to go. The Bible says there's the voice crying out in the wilderness. I find that very interesting that the only way a voice is ever going to be heard is in your wilderness experience. Because when everything is fine and dandy, things are going good. I don't need Jesus. I got 8 balls in my pocket. I'm going to make me some jingling and it don't matter. I don't need God. Some of y'all don't know what 8 balls is. I ain't talking about pool. I got something I can sling and make some money. I was making money left and right. Man, what's up? What you need? I already know what you need. Here you go. Here's a free one on me, but I'll catch you next time. Slinging drugs left and right. Slinging it left and right. And people say, oh, I'm going to look for you. Guess what happened? They came looking for me. I didn't have to go to their wilderness. They came looking for me. You don't think Jesus knows this? He says, oh, you think you got things put together? Let me just remove a couple of things in your life. Let me activate you. And in this activation, it's going to burn. It's going to hurt. You can't see straight. You can't think right. But I'm going to activate you. The same ones you used to be slinging are the ones going to turn you in. So I need to get your attention. Now when all that money's gone, where are you now? Hey, remember, you used to look for me. Hey, why you give me that look? It's worth it. The process has begun. You understand? Process has begun. What you used to be able to do, you can't do. Because the activator is already getting to sink in. The Holy Spirit's beginning to sink in. And you're like, we used to kick it together. I ain't got no more money. You don't give me a free bump. You know how many times I fronted you? No. And then the phone don't even ring no more. People don't want to hang out with you no more. You ain't done that. You still listen to the same. You still hanging out with the same crowd, but they don't want to be around you. The activator has stepped into your life. Your flesh begins to be burnt. Every Christian here says, yeah, I die of your flesh daily. You ain't done it. You ain't done it. Because if you thought it, that's how you know you're still fleshy. Mm-hmm. We're flesh. We are flesh. The whole scripture behind that, die of your flesh daily, means you're going to have to take control of your flesh daily. That's what that means. Because when you wake up in the morning, that same thing is going to be there until you overcome and take dominion and power and authority over it. Amen? The activator in your life is the Holy Spirit, but you got to hear a voice that is calling. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, then after they do it, Chris, wait, you got to sit there for a while, don't you? You got to wait. You just got to sit there and wait. And you got these rollers in your hair. And you stink. People walk up, oh, you getting a perm. Are you ever going to get your nails done? Not you, you men looking at me like, I like my nails and my feet done too. Shoo. But you walk into those nail salons and like, ooh, it's so strong, right? You can walk around people and know they're going through. That don't mean you got to tell them. They know. You're going through some stuff in your life right now, and this is the things that's going on in your life, and you need to make it right. Stop all that right now. Time out. Cut it out. Nuh-uh. I don't need you to tell me what I already know that I'm going through. But we take on that role. We got to stop all that. Let God be the activator. As he's activating you, he's changing structures in you. That now, the thing that has restricted you in your waiting process, I don't even know if we're going to get to another reading. I'm going to stay right here for a little bit. Is that right? You sit and wait until the process is over, and that's the thing that we Christians don't like. The waiting. I don't like waiting. I want it fast. Fast. You wait, but you're still constricted. You're still hidden. And it isn't until the one that put you in that chair says, let me see. Let more time. Right? Right? And it's like you feel the Holy Ghost coming. Oh, God's going to lose. He's going to let me go. It's my more waiting. And you just sit there and just wait. It's like, when is this process going to be over? I got to go out because happy hour ends soon. Then she comes back and checks again. Pulls that little tension off, rolls it down a little bit, and just checks it, looks at, oh, it's got a little curl. Yeah, roll it down a little bit more. Oh, you got a little stubborn strand right here. Don't want to take. Let's roll you back up some more. You ever been to a place in your life when God's been dealing with that one thing in your life, that one thing, and you're so stubborn about it, you just keep, and then you got to wait. So he hides you, rolls you up even tighter, and then you smell even more because they put more solution. It's like the Bible is just telling you, I'm here for you. I am. The Holy Spirit, I'm here for you. Anytime you call on me, I answer. Holy Spirit. But you're so caught up in you, you don't call out to me. So then when it's time, take it out. Oh, it took. Isn't it funny how we got to be still for things of God to take root in our life? Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. We don't know how to be still. If you're like me, I didn't like sitting on that chair. Mom had to get back over here and sit down. You're going to loose one of those things. I got to do it all over again. But it hurts. And you know, it hurts, and you're like, ever occur to you that some of the things that you're doing makes you like, da-da-da. I knew better. Some of the Hispanic folks say, por, ben, we'll leave it alone. You know you're doing things wrong, but you keep doing it. And it's because you've been waiting. And nobody likes to wait. So now when it's time, okay, I'm going to get off of it. Y'all are looking. So you take all the rollers off, and you go through the process taking it off, and then it's nice and curly, and then they gotta rinse it off. So you go through the process, and then all of a sudden, because you came out, you think that's it. No, you got to be cleansed. You got to go through a changing process with the Holy Spirit. You got to hear that voice that's inside of you crying out, says, it's time for you to make straight your paths. Make some changes in your life. Small ones. Don't immediately, I'm going to throw out all my liquor in my house. I'm going to change all the CDs. I'm going to get rid of all it. It's nothing but church and gospel. I don't want to be around you. Tell you right now. Because you're going to start thinking that your righteousness is what made you right. And you'll negate that it's his process that made you get that way. What Michael didn't tell you in his testimony, we weren't saved. When my son died, we weren't saved. It wasn't until that wilderness experience we cried out. We cried out. And when we cried out, he came in. He didn't require us for us to change. He didn't say for us that you're a sinner and you need me. No, he came into our wilderness experience and allowed us to experience his love that made us want to change because of his love. That's it. Messy. We make it all bad. If you could, gentlemen, get on there, please. bring this to a close. I've been trying to end this thing, aligning for advancement. I gave you these scriptures. You can go through and read them and keep an eye on them. But here's the thing that I want to share with you is that when you align in agreement, there's a corporate alignment that brings about a corporate blessing, which is always greater than an individual blessing coming into agreement. Now, you can pray with someone in agreement and you can put 20,000 to flight as opposed to you with 10,000. But when you get together under a corporate anointing, there becomes victory in the battlefield. The scripture that she just read is that your valleys become now mountaintops. Because corporately you gather together in tough seasons of your life. You get around folks that are going through. And you have to learn not to bring the judgment to somebody else, but you have to come together and work together and come into agreement with what thus saith the Lord is. It's simple. Not everything has to be prophetic. Some things just need to be processed. That's it. Just processed. And when you get processed, change can take place. Aligning for advancement also deals with your attitude and the adversity that comes because of your attitude. You can choose to have good attitude or a bad attitude. Most people that have a good attitude have adversity that comes to them because they want to take your joy away. They want to take your strength away. They want to take everything away from you that you have just processed through. So why give it to them? You can't take my joy unless I give you my joy. And if I give you my joy, it's because I have faith in you. It's the wrong kind of faith. The faith is in God. The strength is in God. And He is the provider, my joy, my strength. So I'm going to guard that so that you don't come and trample on it. And if you try to take that away from me, there's going to be a fight. But see, we don't want to fight with folks no more. I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's why the enemy has you all bound. Some folks come into your life and they start talking all this kind of mess. Just like there's an answer button, there's a hang up button. There's also that one that you do ignore. Because adversity comes to change your attitude. And your attitude towards God and His ambition. Aligning for advancement requires ambition, but right ambition. All of these things require action. I'll read one scripture and we'll close with this. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 13, and read, please. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 13.
If I speak the languages of man and of angels, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong.
A gong, like the gong show.
Or a clinging cymbal.
Clingy, you just cling all the time.
If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing.
Nothing.
And if I donate all my goods and feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
Gain nothing.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecy, they will come to an end.
That's right.
As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like a child.
Mm-hmm.
I reasoned like a child.
Yeah.
When I became a man, mm-hmm. I put aside childish things.
There you go, right there. Verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of the childhood behind me. There's a season in your life where you finally have to say, let the activation take root and put all the childish stuff behind. Put all this kind of malice and talk and negativity behind you. Put everything that has got you so bound, put it behind you. If you don't know how to put it behind you, you'll never grab hold to your future. You'll always look back to your past. You'll never advance forward. You'll stay in your ruts. But God is saying at this very moment in time for the people of God is to advance, advance. But you can't advance if you're always looking back. The Bible says this, if you put your hands to the plow and you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Here's one thing, that all sounds great to church folks, but the people out in the world don't know what kingdom mindset is. They know how to plow, they know how to work, they've been working streets, they've been working all kinds of gimmicks and stuff to make it work for them. But in the kingdom mindset, you got to understand, just work the way you work the streets, work it in the church, work towards a goal, and watch this. Things will begin to change because the structure on what you once were begins to change because the activator has come in. Put away the childish things. Some of y'all quickly went to the, well, I'm not a kid no more. But you act like one. You act like one with the way you deal with things. I'm the biggest kid. If I don't like the way things are going, my kids know I don't like it. That don't mean daddy's right. It just means I don't like it, and you're going to know I don't like it. That don't make it right. It's when we grow and say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this thing to affect me the same way that it's been affecting me for 40 plus years. Because I got to put away the old things. I got to become a man. That means mankind is changing. Well, he didn't say woman. He didn't say teenage. He said man. He was talking about all of his creation. That's what he was talking about. But we live zone where everything is okay. And because everything's okay, we don't need God. And what happens is you realize something. In your comfort zone, you don't grow. You come very stagnant and you begin to believe it was your talent, your gift, your hard work that's got you this far. God can take everything away in an instant like he did my son. That very moment, he took everything that I once knew and took it away. What are you going to do now? Cry to you. Because I can't bring him back to life. You can. The doctors told us, the EMT told her, sometimes it's best not to revive them. Because you could do more damage in a life-changing experience that you don't really want to deal with. Something inside of her that activated her faith to cry out to Jesus got a response. And it wasn't what she said, it's whose name she called. Jesus. 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 Something in that cry said, no more. You understand? And when God came in, he turned things around. When I got to the hospital, I said, that's it, God, I know he's dead. And I know you're not going to give him back to me. Just let him open his eyes. Let him see me, that daddy was there, and then you can take him. But let him see me. I walked into the emergency room. I walked straight over there. I heard him crying. I looked at him. He turned and looked at me. I saw his eyes, and I said, that's it, God's going to take him. They took him in. We didn't leave the hospital for 2 weeks straight. Something inside of me said, I need a God for me. For me. Not a God that I knew through my grandmother, my mother, but a God that I needed to know. He didn't say, Marty, until you change your ways, I ain't healing your son. He didn't say, until you get off of all that drugs that you're on, I ain't healing your son. He didn't tell me, you got to go to church every week until I heal your son. All he said to me is, do you trust me? Yes! I need you now in this wilderness experience. Something inside of me activated to cry out to the only one that can change my circumstance. And when I cried out, she cried out. You heard Michael say he cried out. Joseph cried out. People begin to cry out, no, no. Something transformed and changed because he loved us first. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to do away with the penalty of sin. Sin is still on the earth, but the penalty has already been taken care of. He took on that penalty. So don't let this become something that you think that sin has kept me away from God. No, it's not. No. Jesus became the one, the sacrificed lamb, perfect, without any blemish, without anything broken, no spots. He was the perfect sacrifice for your sin. Your sin. He didn't say, I'm going to do away with your sin once and for all. No. He said, what I'm going to do away is the penalty of it, so that you don't have to pay the price for that sin. Some of y'all go to places in your life thinking because of this, this has caused that. We do things that have an effect after our action. If we choose to do right actions, we have better results. Maybe not always the right results, but better results. You choose this day. Choose this day. Joshua said unto his people, choose you this day who you will serve. Who you will serve. You don't serve God with intention saying, I got to be perfect to serve. Come in messed up. Come crying unto him. Use me the way I am. And along the path, I'll give you more of me. I'll give you more of me. That's all he's asking. If you find yourself going to churches where they keep telling you that you're a sinner, and the reason why you're going to hell is because of this, baby, get out quickly, because you're being condemned right where you're at. Jesus did not condemn the world. He came to save the world. We're not perfect people. We're not. And you'll never find a perfect church. You won't. You'll never find the perfect pastor. You won't. I'm the first pastor to tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I mess up. And when I mess up, I thank God I can go to a Savior that says, I paid the price. I'll help you. Let me work on you. And he works with me one-on-one. So I can process things with him and let him activate my life to become better. That's what it's about. If you can say to yourself right now, I need God to activate me and make some changes in my life for me. Not my surroundings, but for me. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. Acknowledge God. Okay, I guess the whole church. It's all right. Hey, it's amen. Amen. As they're playing right now, I want you, I promise to have you out of here before the Cowboys game, 3 o'clock. As they're playing right now, and you know, God, some things need to be straightened in my life. You know, not anybody else. Just pretend everybody's gone. Mom, Dad, they're not here. And moms and dad, you've provoked some children to anger. You've rubbed the wound the wrong way. Some of you parents are in this room right now, and you have rubbed the children and their open wounds the wrong way. What you meant for healing, you've caused more harm. Beloved, the good heart and attention behind it was just to help them, but it hurt them, and it's okay. God knew your heart. Let that go. And children, let that animosity go. Let it go. Some things in our life come to activate more faith. Some things in our life come to straighten us out. Other things that we have done in our life sometimes make us recoil and become very recluse, hidden. and afraid to come out. Because you're afraid of not being accepted because you've been used to being rejected. Jesus came to make every rejected person feel accepted into his kingdom because he calls you now sons and daughters, no longer slaves. So it is time for you to understand as the children of God that his grace and his mercy is sufficient for your pain. But the blood has covered the multitude of sin. And if this is your very first time, Pastor, I've already said the sinner's prayer, and you're going to say it again. Because it's not for us to know when you really meant it. Only God knows when you really mean it. So I want everybody to repeat after me with their heads bowed, their eyes closed. Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died for me. But I believe you resurrected for me. And you took the price of sin and took it away from me. You died for me so that I could have life and have it eternally. I believe that you are the Son of God that died for the sins of the world. And if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you are the risen Savior, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am saved. And if you meant it from the heart right now, every angel in heaven is rejoicing because a soul has just entered into heaven once and for all, never to be cast out, but to be in the presence of your Savior. And as you walk out your life right now, Jesus is praying for you. Be encouraged, each and every one of you, that he came to set you free. Right now, Father, I bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, that you bless them in their coming and their going. You keep them, transform them, renew them, and bless them. And they're coming and they're going. I bless them in the name of Jesus. All of God's children said amen. Can I speak to you for a minute? Is it okay if I speak to you for a minute? You're a fighter. One, I don't know you. You're a fighter. You demonstrate. You all may be seated. You may be seated. I'm sorry. I just felt the Holy Spirit. Just give me a minute, please. You're a fighter. You will fight for what is right. And you also fight what's wrong. But you got a good heart, man. A good heart, you do. I just saw, when I turned and I looked at you, you saw me catch your eye. But what I saw was an angel that stands right above you that has spared your life six times over. And it's kept you because of your heart for people. When you cut for people for real. You're an honorable man, and I want to encourage you, man. Nobody here. You're a good man. Don't let anybody come and tell you otherwise. You had to fight to survive. You had to fight to make it. But let God fight this battle for you now. He's got you. He loves you. He's embracing you. And I see this angel walking with you to keep you. I see two gentlemen that constantly come to call you and hanging out with you. They always want to take you this way. They always want to take you this way. They always want to go this way. There's going to be a change that's going to be seen in you. I'm not telling you to be holy. Find the best picture like me. But what happens is you have a relationship with him. You already have one. There's two people that I see also that have been praying for you to have an encounter and have an exposure differently than they did. One of them being like a grandmother figure, and another one being like a sister that has prayed for you just to keep you. And I pray that you just walk this thing out and just walk it to the best that you can, whatever it is. But I know that they're going to see a change in you because you said something in your spirit as you were going through this. I think it will be, but just show bless you, man. I see this angel walks with you, protects you, keeps you. You're going to change some folks with just what you say. You wouldn't be able to go to places and they would accept you as a minister. But guess what? You're a minister of the word, man. You really are. I bless you, man. I bless you. I bless you. You, some weight was coming off from your heart, and you felt like you had carried this thing for too long, and it just started coming off of you, and it was the Holy Spirit saying, I'm here, I'm covering her, I will hold her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace and love unto you, and watch, just watch, as it begins to speak to you. You write a lot. You write, you write, you write. Watch as they come so much easier as you begin to write these poems. I keep hearing sonnet, like sonnets of songs, just sonnets, little things that you write. That's what's helping you process. But I felt the Holy Spirit just grab hold of you, and it was coming off of you. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. Be encouraged. That leave you today. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, God is good. God is good. All the time? All the time?
All the time.
Say it again, Bob. God is good all the time. All the time. All the time. God is good. Amen. If you guys could just take me up. I got two people I need to speak to, but I want you to take me up, please. I keep feeling this.